Okay, welcome back. Today we are going to see what are the different methods for taking capital investment decisions. In the previous chapter, we have seen what are the techniques, what are the tools with respect to capital evaluating capital budgeting techniques. Now let us take ahead, what are the different methods for these capital investment decisions. So today's session is going to talk about these methods, what are the different types of investment that the company may look into when it comes to investment decisions, what are the methods for investment decisions under risk, and analyze the modern methods and approaches used for taking investment decisions. So let's do a quick recap. What do you mean by a capital investment? Capital investment refers to any kind of investment which is in a huge chunk of money. So I'm going to put a very big sum of money, basically in order to earn return from that particular money. So I'm going to block my money in buying an asset, putting it or expanding it into business, or investing it in such a way that I'm able to make some return. So I'm going to generate more business, more returns. Such kind of investment is known as capital investment. Okay, so the asset which I'm going to put money could be fixed or it could be non-fixed. Acquisition of fixed assets like plant and machinery, land and building are typical examples of capital investment. These investments are done for a longer period of time and would require some kind of repairs and replacement. Irrespective of this, when we're talking about capital investment, we are also talking about those funds which a company is going to acquire in order to upgrade its physical assets like property, equipment, and technology. Even the money which you keep in the bank, you know, it's definitely forms part of company's overall capital. This investment is basically the money allocated towards long-term assets that will help the company grow further. So if I want to distinguish investments with respect to capital investment would be that investment where you're putting in money for long-term assets in order to generate more and more revenue. We've already seen few examples in the previous chapters also. We said when I'm investing in new machinery, when I'm upgrading into a new technology, I'm shifting my headquarters or my manufacturing base, or I'm purchasing a real estate, all these qualify as my capital investments. Let's talk about types of capital investments. So capital investment is not only investing in physical assets, they could be even investing into intangible assets. So there are typically tangible items or intangible items where the company could do the investment. So developing infrastructure, upgrading your warehouses, factory, offices, all these are basically form of capital investment. So I'm putting in money where I actually see an asset getting built, whether it is coming up with a solar plant, whether it is waste management system. So I say these are my tangible capital investment. How about intangible investment? When I'm saying intangible investments, they could be investment into research and development. They could be investment with respect to innovation. All these kind of innovations or, you know, procuring new licenses, coming up with new vaccination formulas. All these, my investment will definitely generate me some kind of goodwill in future. Even investment in patents or copyrights. These are my intangible capital investment. So any kind of money spent towards innovation or product development or expansion into new markets, which will help the company build further capacity or increase your market share, are all considered as capital investments. So intangible and tangible is clear. Intangible is talking about physical assets. Tangible is talking about physical assets. Intangible is talking about investment into patents, licenses. Talking about objectives of capital investment. Now, why would a company look at doing a capital investment? What's the primary objective? So there are three primary objectives with which a company actually works. However, we talk about all the five objectives. The primary three ones are, first, I want to ensure my money is safe. So safety being one of the main objective of capital investment. So safety, when I'm saying safety, none of the investment could be 100% safe, irrespective of you going for a government, you know, bond free or a risk free bond in a government investment where you're sure that the government is going to pay you X percentage of money back. That could be a safe investment. Next could be income. So I'm saying when we're talking about from a company point of view, safety here talks about company doing a good risk assessment or analysis before investment to ensure that the investor's money is safe or the company's money is comparatively safer. So safety is one of the objective. Second is income. The primary criteria for pooling in funds or getting in funds or retaining the funds for a company is to generate more and more income. So if I have an expansion plan or if I have a plan to generate money out of the money, so I'm going to generate more money with the investment which I make for the company, I want to increase my top line. That is nothing but an objective of capital investment. So capital investment is very clear. Try to get in more money of the money which you have retained in the company, you have generated from outside in order to grow the business further. Third primary objective is growth. See, why would a company look at capital investment? Every company wants to grab maximum market share. So I want to be a market leader. I want to get the maximum market. I want to push as much sales as possible. I want to increase my top line. I want to venture into new products. I want to grow my business further into different countries. All these are the reasons behind capital investment. So growth of any company always becomes one of the main or primary objective of capital investment. The three primary objectives which we have seen, safety, income and growth, irrespective of them, there are two other very important capital investment objectives. First, tax minimization. I'm investing into fixed assets so that I can get some tax benefit due to depreciation, and that money could be utilized in buying future assets. So I'm also looking at capital investment to save taxes. I'm not giving dividend, retaining the dividend in order to ensure there is some tax saving for dividend on dividend distribution tax. Okay, so that's all another objective of capital investments in order to minimize the tax, save the tax, for the company as well as for the investors. The last one is certain degree of liquidity. When I'm saying certain degree of liquidity, capital investments would come in such a way that it always ensures that the company does not run out of cash. So you're going to do or you're going to block your money in fixed asset only and only after you have some money left with you in case of working capital, which will ensure the company has liquid assets and it has sufficient money to pay off all the people who come and ask for receivables from the company. So if the company has to give back money to its vendors, suppliers, it doesn't run out of cash. So that degree of liquidity is maintained irrespective of you blocking funds in capital investment. So capital investment also ensures that more money is generated through business and the liquidity and the working capital keeps running. Irrespective of these objectives, how do an investor actually decide where to invest or how does he take a decision whether to go for a capital investment or no? Whatever objectives we've seen is more from a company per se. Now, from an entrepreneur per se, what is a person actually thinking while doing an investment? Or if you were to take a decision what to do for the company, what are you going to do? How aggressive you are going to be in your capital investment decision? So first, it depends on the temperament of the investor or the company. So is the temperament of the entrepreneur, how aggressive the entrepreneur is for growing, how aggressive you are for the company to take it further for growth. If the sentiment is aggressive, you will pull in more money and invest money. If it's conservative, you will try to, give off the money as dividend, not retain the money and make your shareholders happy. So that's the first criteria. Second would be stage of life. It could be the product life. It could be an individual's life. At what stage of life the investor is? If the investor is actually looking at just investing, making minimum cash dividend and leaving the company. So those investors would basically want you to pay cash dividends and not retain dividend. In case of stages of product life cycle or for company life cycle, is the company in the growth phase? Is the sector doing well? Is the company really looking at tapping new markets? So are you in the growth phase or maturity phase, or you are in the initial stage of your product life cycle? You'll decide how much to retain and how much to give back in form of money to the investors, to the people who have invested in your company. Third could be the family situation. So it depends on what kind of income levels do you want for the company or for your investors. It could be marital status of the entrepreneur, whether he is very aggressive right now or no, at what level, whether he's married, not married, how much hours can he put in for the business. He'll decide what kind of capital investment he wants to do. And last, very important, what is the income level of the investor? So the investor and an entrepreneur also looks at what income is generated from the business and how much more does he or she want to take a choice, which kind of capital objective will he actually look at, whether he look at safety, whether he will look at growth, or he will look at steady income. Now, what are the methods for taking this investment decisions under risk? We know each capital investment decision has a lot of risk. We've discussed a lot of techniques which says find out if the project is really feasible or no. We said we will rate it, or we will find out the present value of future cash flows using time value of money concept. We'll also see the effect of inflation in advance so that we are aware how much cash is generated or return is generated from the project each year. So what are we doing? We're trying to find out whether the project is risky or no. If it's risky, what are the methods which we need to take care in order to find out we get the best return for the minimum risk we take? So first method, let's talk about sensitivity analysis. So when we'll discuss sensitivity analysis in detail, we'll understand how these different factors are going to impact the company, what decision would be taken with respect to different business cycles. Okay, whether boom, recession, how optimistic or pessimistic you could be for the company's cash flow each year. Next would be scenario analysis. I'm going to talk about different business scenarios with competition coming in, with tax norms changing, with new innovative products coming in, or the PLC getting impacted. How would your entire cash flows get impacted? Decision tree analysis, we are going to see that for different decisions, what could be the probable outcomes, and then decide whether to invest in the project or no. Fourth being break-even analysis, very important to know what's my no profit, no loss situation. And this analysis will help me understand whether investing at that particular time is really nice and how long I have to wait to break even or to receive my entire capital investment back. Risk-adjusted discount rate method. Here we're going to adjust the risk to find out different returns and see how would the returns get impacted due to the changes in risk or the rate of risk associated with the project. And the last is certainty equivalent analysis. Here we are going to change the expected return and see what kind of risk does the project have and what optimal return can it generate. Let's take each of the method and try to understand how does it really get calculated. So let's talk about sensitivity analysis. Sensitivity analysis would basically analyze the degree of responsiveness of the dependent variable for a given change in the independent variable. So what do we really want to say here? I want to say you, how would your sale forecast number, how would the change in market share impact your cash flows? You grabbing the maximum market share with your cash flows increasing, your competitor getting into the market, impacting your market share, your cash flow numbers get decreasing, and so on. So we will define all the variables as dependent and independent, and we'll try to map in how these dependent variables are going to get impacted. That means my cash inflows are going to get impacted due to changes in my independent variables like sales or market share. Sensitivity analysis is a method in which result of a decisions would be forecasted. So you're going to forecast what's going to happen in future, and you're going to talk about actual performance versus any deviation or assumed performance. So sensitivity analysis also says, tell me what is the average sales you're expecting, what is the average cash flow you're expecting, and how much are you deviating from your expected return to find out whether it's a good investment or no. So if you see here, how are we going to do sensitivity analysis? First, we are going to find out all the variables in the project which are going to get affected. So I'll find out all variables, dependent as well as independent, define independent and dependent variables. And I also try to understand what is their impact on the NPV and IRR of the project. So after I know my variable, I'll come up with the cash flow analysis. How would my cash flows get impacted, and calculate NPV and my IRR, internal rate of return, which is the hurdle or the benchmark rate. Then I'll try to establish a mathematical relationship between the independent and dependent variable. So I'll say a 10% change in my sales forecast is going to impact my cash flow by 20%. So I'll create an equation, a mathematical representation talking about these outcome between independent and dependent. I'll further study and analyze the impact of these changes on the variable to find out the cash inflows and their impact on the total NPV of the project to understand if the project remains profitable or not after any such scenario happens. Let's take an example. If there was a project A and B with an initial outlay of 2 lakh rupees and 3 lakh rupees, we are trying to estimate what would be the cash flows. If you are very optimistic about the project, it could be 5 lakh rupees. Okay, in total 50,000 rupees per year for 10 years. If your expected most likely outcome could be 40,000 per year, your most pessimistic could be 20,000 per year. And let's assume a required rate of return for the investor, 10%. So investor wants you to pay him 10% return. And this is what return you're expecting from both the projects A and B. In case of B, you are optimistic it's going to generate you 80,000 rupees per year, which comes to 10 years, 8 lakh rupees. 60,000 rupees per year for is expected most likely, and 40,000 rupees per annum for most pessimistic view. Now let's find out NPV in both the cases. If I'm going to take NPV for project A for all the three scenarios, I find out the present value for all three scenarios, optimistic, likely, and pessimistic. And I can see that when I'm very pessimistic or I'm having the highest risk, I make a loss of 77,109. So my net present value here becomes negative, which could be a clear cut indication that I'll make a loss in case this variable changes to the least. Let's talk about project B. When I'm looking at project B, I'm making a loss of 54,280 for the pessimistic market scenario. If I want to compare now A and B to take a decision whether to invest in A or B, you would see that the losses are comparatively less in project B compared to project A. So net present value losses of 54,000 versus 77,000 in A. And if you look at the optimistic scenario, I make a net present value of say 1,07,000 rupees in project A versus 1,91,000 in B. So I think project B gives me maximum return for the least risk. So I would typically invest in project B over project A in such a scenario. So this is an example of sensitivity analysis where you're finding out the three different scenarios, you're finding out cash inflows in three scenarios, you're checking the present value and calculating net present value to find out what is the maximum return for the minimum risk which you take. So project selection would be based on minimum risk with maximum returns. Let's come to the next method, scenario analysis. Scenario analysis here is another very, very important method as we are going to talk about different risk involved for different future uncertainty. Now, we already know that there was COVID few years back and we are expecting some new COVID strain which has come in the Asian region, how it's going to impact my business, what could be the probable scenarios, whether the demand will go up, down. So if it's a consumer good, maybe it would go up in the near future and it may drop down in future. In case they are luxury products, I see that though the demand is like stable now, it may fall down in the near future. So what are the different scenarios and what are the expected cash inflows for these scenarios? You'll find out these and then again, you'll try to manage the same with the similar method of sensitivity analysis. You'll try to do a scenario analysis. It's more complex. You'll use more statistical tools in scenario analysis compared to sensitivity analysis and take insight about the project, whether you want to invest in the project or no. Coming to the third method. Decision tree analysis. What's a decision tree? We said whenever we are talking about decision, we are going to talk about two different aspects or three different aspects, what decision you want to take. And I'm going to map probable outcome for each decision taken by you. So each decision, what could be the probable impact? What are the different impact? What are the different factors affecting? We're going to map it in the form of a tree and find out how would the entire cash inflows change. So let us try to look at decision tree as nothing but a pictorial representation of different probable decisions taken by you as a head of a company or as a finance manager of a company. It's like a tree-like diagram, which is going to talk about how would the project inflows change. Let's take an example. XY Manufacturers has two projects, project A and B. And this is how a decision tree looks like. Project A has an initial investment of 25,000. B has an initial investment of 32,000. And we are talking about probability of cash inflows. The probability of inflow of, you know, returns of 46,000 in case of A is 0.35%. And the probability of return of 42,000 is 0.65%. Similarly, for B, we see a return of 55,000, probability to be 20%, and probability of, say, 80% for 50,000. How would you take a decision here now? I would calculate net present value for my returns for both the case. So I'll say 46,000 multiplied by 0.35. I'll add in 42,000 plus 0.65 and find out my total cash inflow number. Similarly, for project B, I'll take a 20% on 55,000 and I'll add a 50,000 to 80% of 50,000. So if you see in project A, your cash inflows are around 18,000. And in case of B, it is somewhere around, you know, more than, it's around 20,000. If that's the case, which one will you select? So this particular method will use probabilities to find out what would be the total cash inflows to take a decision. So in this case, you will go with project B and not with project A. Coming to the next method, break-even analysis. What is break-even? Break-even is that point when there is no profit, no loss situation for any project. In case of break-even analysis, you will try to find out for the project, for different heads, what are the total cost when it comes to fixed cost or variable cost. Total fixed cost talks about those costs which you have committed for the project, which are going to be there even if the project is not into, is getting developed, it is not functioning at all. However, you have started the project, and variable costs are those projects which would change with the output which the project generates. So in break-even scenario, we'll try to find out what is that point where your total fixed cost and total variable cost is going to combinedly meet your total revenue. So I want to know what's my total revenue versus my total cost. This is how a break-even analysis would look like. I have my committed cost, which is nothing but my fixed cost, and you can see the variable cost. As and when the volume increases, the variable cost gets covered and the company is into profitability situation. So you'll find out the no profit, no loss situation so that you know at what level will you recover your entire money which you have spent in the project. Next method, risk-adjusted discounted rate method. Now this particular method is trying to find out different types of NPV. So it's like a valuation model. It talks about building a valuation model. That means building up new NPVs for different scenarios. Now, what scenario is this? I'm going to talk about different level of risk. And I'm going to calculate net present value for each level. To do so, I will use a risk-adjusted discounted rate, which could be expressed as 1 plus risk-free rate of return. That is, it could be return taken from government bonds, interest rate, fixed deposit, plus the risk probability. So I'll find out what is this discounting rate, and I will use this to calculate my net present value. Coming to certainty equivalent analysis. Certainty equivalent analysis is similar to risk adjusted return. The primary difference here is you're again building a valuation model for NPV, different NPVs for different scenarios. But here instead of risk, we would talk about change in expected return. Here you're going to change the expected return and find out what could be a different net present value. So what is the certainty of the cash flow happening is what you want to understand. So what's the certainty of a particular cash flow happening, or for different cash inflows, how would the net present value change, expected return gets adjusted. This could be given with the formula NPV is equal to alpha into RN divided by 1 plus R into N minus the cash outflows. What is this alpha or A? It is certainty equivalent coefficient, which we'll calculate using expected certain return divided by expected risky return. So you will keep on changing the expected risky return coefficient to find out what is the net present value for different scenarios and take a decision to take up a project or no. You'll have a band of NPV. You know how much is the minimum and the maximum return you could make. Profitability of the project could be mapped using this particular analysis. We've talked about these six methods. Let's talk about what are the modern methods, what are the modern approaches which are now getting used when it comes to investment decisions. Irrespective of what you have seen, these six methods are now embedded using a lot of different tools. So data-driven analysis. There's a lot of data which is coming in from the company, from the investor, from the sales, from the market. Okay, so sales forecast number, market generated number, competitor and data of sales, all these would be used and models could be built to analyze what could be my cash inflow forecast using Excel models. These are known as data-driven analysis. You could also use robo-advisories. You could have a machine learning and AI tool in place where the robo actually calculates what would be the cash inflows for different risk scenarios which the company may see. So we've already defined risk. We could now put this in machine learning and try to generate a better solution. What needs to be done in case a particular scenario or risk or a return gets coefficient gets changed? Next is social sentiment analysis. Okay, we've already talking about capital investment. Social sentiment analysis talks about how do investors perceive your decision. So I am taking a decision to expand my business. Are the investor sentiments positive towards it? What is the thought process of the investors? Depending on that, the entire analysis would change with respect to my cash inflows. Whether people really like, you know, after I do a pilot testing, whether the people really like the taste of my product, are they willing to pay that money? What is the sentiment towards my product launch? Positive, negative? I'll use that analysis to map my cash inflows. Next is impact investing. Impact investing is something also which is now taking a lot of ground. We are talking about sustainability and ESG factors. When we are using these particular techniques, if I'm going to take, you know, raw material which is costlier compared to raw material I was using because it is sustainable, what kind of impact am I generating? If the impact is really very good towards the environment, am I able to earn some carbon credit? If yes, I can get better investors at cheaper cost for my future expansion. So impact investing is another one factor. Next is cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Irrespective of all other methods, why not use crypto and blockchain to analyze different scenarios of your project to find out the profitability? So you may create different models using crypto. Cryptocurrency would be used as an investment tool, and the blockchain technology would give you different scenarios and your cash inflow numbers. So you could make a simulation out of this and then decide it in real life whether you want to take up the project or no. You could also look at alternative investments, avenues, and not only investing in one. So projects could be not only of a particular type, they could be of different alternatives. It could be expansion, new product line, new business completely, and then decide whether to go for that particular investment. Each investment has a different risk return flavor in it. Look at that risk return and take a decision. It could also be a factor-based investing. I am only going to take up this decision because the government has come up with a new regulation. So the factor here is government regulation. The factor could be raw material, which has now become scarce. So there could be any factor which is impacting your top line. If that's the case, you're going to invest into something new. Maybe, you know, technology getting obsolete. It's another one factor. So I go and go for a factor-based investing in order to sustain in the market or to, you know, further grow in the market. And that could also be one approach for investment decision. I could use quantitative models. I could build statistical models to calculate return for my entire group of portfolio. So what all projects I have, what all investments I have done, my total fixed asset investments, I could quantify them and keep on adjusting the number or the weights to find out where do I make the maximum profitability to decide which investment is better. I could also use machine learning and AI driven models. When we talked about robo advisory, it, you know, there the robot takes a decision. In case of machine learning and AI, it would tell you what could be done. It would calculate you. You still take a decision what has to be done. Okay. In case most of the robo advisory, you know, the robo itself will place an order. So if you're low on inventory on the ERP, the robo places an order for inventory. In case of machine learning and AI, they, you know, these are also teaching the machine how do you actually take decisions and then driving the decision. So it could also be a machine learning on AI driven model, or you can use different risk management tool to ensure you make the minimum risk and get the maximum return for any kind of investment avenue which you have decided to take up. So do a good risk return analysis before you decide which investment decision is best for the company. Thank you from my side for this chapter. We'll talk about the next few decisions in the later chapters.